Prologue. He watched them leave the police station and drive away. He inched the stolen car out of the lay-by and followed them. An hour into their shift, he watched them stop and question a speeding motorist. He knew the driver would get booked, even if he were just over the speed limit. Soon, they were on the move again. He could set his watch by their routine. He knew where they would be heading halfway through their shift. They parked on the grass verge of a junction on a long, straight section of road, waiting. From his vantage point, he could make out the driver pointing the speed gun towards the oncoming traffic. When they drove away, empty-handed, he heard them joking with area control on his radio scanner. He followed them. When he got too close, he fell back. Sometimes he parked a safe distance from them, listening to the messages. Later they stopped for petrol. He parked in the shadows, out of sight of the CCTV cameras on the forecourt. From the car, he saw them laughing and joking with a girl behind the counter. An open-topped sports car drew up and a tall woman wearing a short skirt stepped out. He watched as they eyed her filling the car. Then they pulled off the forecourt. An indicator light pulsed as they stopped at the curb. He saw the driver scanning for traffic before driving away. He lingered a few moments before firing the engine into life. After the pubs closed, they drove on, past the boarded-up buildings and fish and chip shops full of hungry customers, before parking and waiting for drunk drivers. He parked his car as near as he dared. He sat patiently, counting down the time to his first telephone call. He could feel his pulse increasing with anticipation. He picked up one of the mobiles sitting by the MP3 player on the passenger seat. On the scanner, he heard a voice relaying a message, and moments later, they pulled away. It was dark now, and he followed them over the long causeway, and, fearful they might notice him, he slowed and watched as the taillights of their car moved away from him. To his left, through the darkness, he saw the moon's reflection on the surface of the estuary, and on his right, the dark shadow of the causeway wall. After a few miles, they pulled into a lay-by. When he passed them, he listened to their crackled speech on the scanner, complaining about the hoax. He pulled into a junction and made another call. He heard them receive the message from the area control room. He drove onto the Crimea Pass through the narrow streets of the deserted town. The road out was clear. He sensed the presence of the mountains towering either side of him as he accelerated towards the top of the pass. He parked and got out of the car, opened the boot, and reached for the long coat, carefully threading his arms through the sleeves. He leant down again and moved a blanket to one side before closing his fingers round the cold metal. Far down the valley, he saw the lights of their vehicle approaching. Soon, very soon, they would arrive. His mouth was dry. His heart pounded. As they approached, he knelt by the rear tire out of sight. Their car slowed. The hazard lights flashed, and they parked exactly where he knew they would. He walked to the front of his car, and then towards them. Perfect.